One of the characteristics of the human body is that we need nourishment. The physical body needs nourishment to strengthen us, to strengthen our minds and our bodies. Without nourishment, without food, we become weak and unable to function. Even in our minds, for any of you kids in school, it's always best to eat good in the mornings that you know you're going to have a test in school, because the food actually nourishes your mind and strengthens your mind and helps you out. But what about the soul or the spirit in the body? What about nourishing the soul or the spirit? For 300 to 400 years before Christ, the great philosopher Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle all knew and believed and taught about an inner being in the human body, in the human life, an inner being, whether it be called the soul or the spirit, that there was something else inside a person that existed that gave the person life and gave that body, that fleshly body, animation. Paul said if there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So what do we do to nourish this spiritual body? Jesus teaches that about that today, and he calls it the bread of life. We find Jesus again, if you remember, he was on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. He had sent his disciples to the other side. They got in the storm. Jesus came and walked on water, calmed the storm, and they arrived on the other side of the sea. Now, it tells us in our text today that the next day, the crowd that had stayed on that other shore realized that there had only been one boat there and that Jesus didn't go with his disciples on the other side, so they were looking for Jesus again. And also some other boats from Tiberias had come, and they were looking for Jesus. But they realized that Jesus nor his disciples were there, so they jumped back in their boats and headed back across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum in search of Jesus. It tells us in our text today that when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus' response to them, and the way that he teaches them and what he teaches them now, is very, very interesting. Here were these people following him, coming after him, hearing that he had fed the 5,000 and all that he had provided for them. He says to them, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill." What this was religion for the sake of earthly happiness. They were following Jesus to suppress their own earthly desires and needs. And Jesus was basically saying, "You're not following me for the right reasons. You're not coming after me for the right reasons." He says to them, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. That food," he says, "which the Son of Man will give you. And on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So he says, do not work for food that spoils. That's food he's talking about that supplies the natural earthly desires and suppresses the wants and the needs of the earthly fleshly desires. He says, don't work for that kind of food. You want to work for a special kind of food, spiritual food, food that endures to eternal life, food that never runs out or is exhausted. And he was probably referring to or thinking about the passage in Isaiah where Isaiah says, "Do you not know, have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint." And Jesus says, this is the kind of food that you need to be working for. Food that will never run out. Food that will strengthen and nourish your soul and your spirit. And the one that's going to give that to you is the Son of Man. Because on him, God has placed the seal of approval. God has given his special blessing to the Son of Man, and he is able to provide and supply this special nourishment that we all, they all, need. Then he asked them, then they asked Jesus, "What must we do to to do the works that God requires. And Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that He has sent. What must we do to do the work that God requires so that we can receive this blessing, this nourishment that never runs out, this eternal food? What works do we need to do? You see, they were more than ready to do the works. And so are we today. We're more than ready to do the works, the good works, thinking those are the things that are going to bring the blessings on our lives. And Jesus says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that He has sent. So they said to Him, what miraculous sign then will you give us that we might see the sign and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, and as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven. They said to Him, what sign are you going to give us that what you're saying is true? What are you going to do for us that we might see it and believe you? What will you do? They said to Jesus. They were more than ready to do the works. Jesus said the work of God is to just simply believe in the one that He sent. And they said, oh, we want to see a sign first. We want to know first. We want to see evidence first before we believe. And that's the sad reality of a lot of people today. They want to see the sign first before they will believe. That is not true faith. And truly, these people were following Jesus for the wrong reason, as are many, many people today, wanting to see the proof, wanting to see the miracle before they believe, rather than having faith in the one whom God has sent and then seeing the miracles being poured out. This was the characteristic of the typical Jew that was addressing Jesus. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says that Greeks seek wisdom and Jews require a sign to believe. And what they're saying is, God gave us a sign before in the desert. He gave our people a sign in the desert. Now, you give us one. That's essentially what they were saying to Jesus. Our forefathers ate manna. He gave them bread from heaven. But Jesus reminds them, I tell you the truth, it was not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. My Father that gives the bread, the true bread from heaven. And the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. This is the true bread. The true bread gives life. Those who ate the manna die. But those who eat the true bread, believing in Jesus, live. And He says, the true bread that's really going to nourish and strengthen you, that's really going to give you life, is He who comes down from heaven and gives that life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Give us this He who comes down from heaven. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am this He who has come down from heaven. And he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. That's the true miracle. If you have faith coming to Christ, believing in Him, the true miracle is you'll be content. You'll never have all the wants that the rest of the world has. You will be content. That's the sign that we receive by faith. When Jesus declared to them, I am the bread of life, we think back to when Moses was on Mount Sinai and God wanted to send him to His people to free His people from Egypt. And Moses said, well, when I go, who should I say to them sent me? And God says, tell them, I am sent you. I am. When you really research that, it means God said to him, I am. I will be what I will be. And Jesus is saying here to them, I will be what I will be. And what I will be is nourishment and bread to all of you who come to me and believe in me. You'll never hunger or thirst. You'll be content. because I will be your nourishment. I will be your strength. I am the true bread, and those who come to me and believe in me will see the true miracle. You will see the sign. I think about Revelation, the book of Revelation in chapter 7. When John saw his vision of the multitudes in heaven, he saw them around the throne standing there, and he describes it. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. One of the elders said to me, These in white robes, who are they? And where did they come from? And I answered, John, this is John saying, I answered, Sir, you know. And he said, These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, they were followers of the Lamb, who is Christ. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. They serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, says, Christ is to the soul what bread is to the body. And what Christ is saying here is, don't be mistaken. He who comes to and believes in me is doing the work of God. Works doesn't do it. Physical works doesn't do it. Coming to Christ, believing in Christ, is doing the work of God, and those who do the work of God will never be in want. We come like sheep to the shepherd. And we think of Psalm 23, when we make the Lord our shepherd and come to Him and believe in Him, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Green pastures where there will be plenty of nourishment. He leads me beside still waters where we will be refreshed. He restores our souls when we're downcast and depressed and weary. He leads us on the path of righteousness when we're on the wrong path in life. He brings us back. Would the shepherd deny his true flock the food? And who are his flock? John says in John chapter 10, My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. His sheep are those who follow him. He says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. And his true sheep will always be fed. They will always and forever be fed spiritual sheep food because the shepherd still lives and cares for his flock that follows him. He provides peace. He provides strength. He provides courage. He provides love. He provides contentment. He provides patience. And most of all, he provides assurance of eternal life for all who come to Him, that He will not let them perish. Because His sheep feed on Him, He offers this to us and we're filled up with Him. And He is the bread that endures to eternal life and gives life to those who come and believe. He is manna that His sheep can rely on. I want to ask you this morning, have you had your fill of earthly food and find that it only spoils as life goes on? For a while you're happy. For a while you're happy, you're content. But after a while you realize there's still something missing in my life. I'm still missing something. We've tried all this worldly manna, all that the world has to offer, but we're still not satisfied. Our soul still longs for something more. And until we come to Christ and get on our knees and believe that He can satisfy our needs, we will never be satisfied. And when we do, we will see miracles of providence and provision that can only come from God. and comes to the one on whom God has placed the seal of approval, the living Christ, who lives and dwells inside each one of us who have followed Him, received Him, believed in Him. I ask you, are you following Christ for earthly gain? Are you following Christ for eternal security? Is your motive status? Is your motive money or fame or reputation? Maybe it's good health. Maybe it's prosperity. Maybe it's for that good job. Oh, we come to God in all these times when we are in need, and we come to God with our selfish motives. Maybe we're following Him for this nice car that we want, or a big house, or great clothes. You're thinking, if I follow Him, He'll bless me. That's the story of the Bible, but that's not really the story of the Bible. He does bless all who follow Him, but He knows the motives of the heart. It doesn't work that way. We have to have faith first, and then comes the miracle of blessing. He's not a candy man. He's not a sugar daddy. He's not one to be mocked or taken advantage of. If He never blessed you with any of these things, would you still follow Him? Would you still follow Him if you never received one more blessing in your life? You see, Jesus is the Son of God, and He offers sheep food to His sheep. And that food is Himself for our good and for His glory. His promise is that all who come to Him and believe that He can provide for them will be fed forever. Their names will be written in His book of life, and they will have eternal life with Him. No more tears, no more need, never in need, and we have His promise. That's why we follow Christ. He gives us assurance in this life and in eternity. And that's sheep food that fills His sheep with overflowing joy. Jeremiah, the great prophet, says in Jeremiah 17, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord." Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. He's talking about spiritual nourishment. Unless we are nourished spiritually, we're going to starve to death, literally. I remember years ago, and I was at one of these large races that I went to. It was down in West Virginia, in a town called Davis, West Virginia, at the Tucker County Alpine Festival. It was one of these 100-mile cross-country races where you rode four laps on a 25-mile loop out in the plateaus and the hills of West Virginia. And I never knew that West Virginia was so swampy and soggy, but there were bogs that you would get in that would literally bury the bike, and you'd have to pull the bike out by hand. You'd ride into them unsuspecting, and the bike would sink to the handlebars, and you'd spend 15 or 20 minutes pulling a little here and pulling a little there till you got the bike out and could go on. And I remember one thing about this event in special. When I came to the end of the event and rode across the finish line, it was on one of the streets in the town, and rode into the field where we had our truck and all of our gear parked, and my friend was there, I'll never forget how I felt. I rode up to my friend and I shut the bike off and I sat there and I was totally, totally exhausted. I could not have told him what day of the week it was. I could not have told him what time of day it was. I probably couldn't even have told him where I was. I was only going on adrenaline for the past 5 hours, tearing through the woods, and I was exhausted. And I said to him, "I can't get off the bike." I said, "You've got to hold the bike." I said, "No, first get a cot out of the truck." We had a cot in the back of the truck, and he laid the cot beside the bike. And I sat there, and I said, "Hold the bike." And I literally rolled off the bike onto the cot, and I shook. I lay there for 15 minutes shaking. I was so exhausted from all this. And little by little, as he gave me Gatorade, he gave me food to eat, and I lay there still, soaking wet, covered with mud, eating and drinking, nourishing my body. The strength started to come back to the point where I could sit up and get up and get my regular clothes on and start to feel like a human being again. And you see, sadly, that's the shape of our world today. People are literally shivering in their shoes. They're depressed. They're exhausted from all that the world's thrown at them. And the battle that they've fought day in and day out in their lives, struggling with life itself. They're literally incapacitated and unable to function. But we have a special nourishment that's available to us. And that's a nourishment that, it's a bread. It's a bread and a nourishment that nourishes our souls and strengthens us, encourages us, and says, you can do it. Here's the strength. I give you the strength to do it. Do you know, as I did a search on the word bread here, do you know what the word bread means in the Greek that it would have been written by John? It means raised up, as in a loaf. You see, Jesus is the one that has been raised up by God, lifted up by God to give every one of us strength who partake of Him. He says, I am the bread of life. I am He who comes down from heaven and comes down to give the world life. Are you exhausted this morning? Are you tired of fighting the fight, struggling? You have your fill of all the world has to offer and the world still hasn't satisfied you? I encourage you, try Jesus. Try Jesus. He'll fill you up to overflowing. He'll nourish your soul, strengthen your body so that you can rejoice and carry on in the life that He's given you, having the strength to do all that He gives you to do. Don't follow Him for the wrong motives. Follow Him for eternal motives, for eternal food that never runs out and never is exhausted.